Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ENCE third quarter 2019 results presentation. I now hand over to Mr. Ignacio Colmenares, Executive Chairman, and Alfredo Avello, CFO. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining ENCE's third quarter 2019 results conference call. I'm here with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our Head of IR, Alberto Valdez. After the presentation, we will be pleased to answer any questions. Our third quarter results confirm the significant operational improvement in our pulp business, with a cash cost reduction of €22 per ton compared to the previous quarter. Pontevedra's biomill production has increased by 8% after the 20,000-ton annual capacity expansion started in March. The additional 80,000-ton capacity expansion in Navia's biomill is being carried out in October. This will strengthen sales volume and reduce costs during 2020. We are currently focused on the cost reduction program that we launched in July this year to achieve the cost target set in our strategic plan. However, the pulp business EBITDA has decreased by 53% for the first 9 months of the year. Lower pulp prices accounted for 32% of this decrease. The negative settlements of our hedging program accounted for 16%, and 5% was due to higher costs. The decline in demand in previous quarters and the consequent increase in producers' inventories has continued to depress net hardwood pulp prices, which are almost $200 per ton below the last 10-year average and below the estimated production costs of more than 40% of world pulp production capacity. During July and August, we started to see signs of recovery, such as Chinese pulp demand growing 19% year-on-year. During the same period, pulp producers' inventories decreased by 9 days in softwood pulp and by 7 days in hardwood pulp. Also, close to 1 million tons of market-related downtime in the industry has been announced for second half 2019. On the other hand, renewable energy business EBITDA was 28% higher than the first 9 months of 2019, thanks to the solar thermal plant acquired last year. The revamping of some of our power plants, together with the start of 2 new biomass power plants, will improve this business EBITDA by around €30 million as from 2020. In order to keep growing in the renewable energy business, ENCE currently has a pipeline of over 2,100 megawatts. 386 megawatts already have access to the grid, 280 megawatts correspond to PV projects, 81 megawatts to biomass, and 25 megawatts to solar thermal hybridization. For those technologies, we are waiting for the implementation of the European and Spanish Renewable Energy Plan. We have started developing another 1.6 gigawatts in PV energy and 75 megawatts in thermal hybridization. In slide 5, you can see the evolution of net hardwood prices in China during the last 10 years. They are now $185 below the last 10 years' average. On the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the estimated pulp producers' cash cost at Chinese ports. Considering the current net hardwood price in China, 30 million tons of global capacity has a cash cost above this figure. Prices in China are clearly below the cost levels of many pulp producers, which makes the situation unsustainable for them. In slide 6, there is a graph with the evolution of pulp producers' inventories in days during the last 10 years. The inventories increased significantly during the last part of 2018 and the beginning of 2019, as you know. We believe that around 1 million tons moved from stocks in the supply chain of paper producers to the stocks of pulp producers as a result of the strong fall in prices. During July and August, we started to see some reduction in the global level of inventories, helped by producers' production cuts and Chinese demand increase. I expect to see a higher demand in the pulp market during the coming months, driven by an increase in final demand and by restocking in the supply chain of paper producers. Let's now move to slide 7, where we summarize our views on pulp supply and demand. We updated our estimates in the light of lower pulp demand and Suzano's announced production cuts during the second half of 2019. We also took into account the increase of pulp producers' inventories and their expected reduction, along with the supply chain restocking. In the medium term, the lack of large capacity increases until the second half of 2021 still supports our expectation of a tight supply and demand balance. Let's continue with slide number 8, which shows our financial results. The group's EBITDA decreased by 41% in the period due to the fall in the pulp business EBITDA. Pulp business EBITDA was affected by FX hedging settlements, which had a total negative impact of 29 million, also by lower pulp prices and higher commercial discounts, and by cost increases. In the absence of the 29 million negative impact of hedges during the period, group EBITDA would have decreased by 28%, and pulp business EBITDA by 38%. Finally, our group net income decreased by 70%. A first interim dividend of 5.1 cents per share was paid in September. No second interim dividend is due in 2019, and the final dividend is subject to our 50% payout policy. Let's turn to slide number 9. During the first 9 months of 2019, free cash flow before growth capex and dividend payments amounted to 83 million. Our growth capex added up to 214 million as a result of the big investments in both the pulp and renewable energy businesses. Our leverage ratio is 2.5 times, 1.8 times in the pulp business, 4.3 times in the renewable energy business. The net debt to EBITDA ratio has been penalized by the negative effects of the FX hedges settlements and by the investments already made which have not yet generated EBITDA. In slide number 10, we explain the evolution of our cash cost. Our third quarter cash cost decreased by 22 euros per ton compared to the second quarter of 2019 as a consequence of an improvement of 12 euro per ton in conversion costs, also a decrease of 8 euros per ton in overhead costs, and finally, a fall of 2 euros per ton in wood costs, which will continue to fall in line with the fall we have already seen in pulp prices. Our top priority is to reduce costs in the coming quarters. We launched a cost-cutting program during the third quarter in order to achieve the annual cash cost targets of our strategic plan. In slide 11, I would like to give you an update of Navia's swing line project. During the first quarter of 2020, the board will decide whether to go ahead or to delay the project by 1 year, depending on pulp market conditions and in order to comply with the self-imposed leverage limits set in our strategic plan. A delay can be expected, considering our willingness to maintain a net debt to EBITDA ratio below 2.5 times in this business, and the priority we are giving to cost reductions. Let's move now to slide 12, where you can see our current renewable energy asset base and the two new plants which will be operating shortly. Including the repowering of some of the plants, we will add near 30 million more EBITDA by 2020. If you go now to slide number 13, you will see our medium-term growth plan for the renewable energy business. We are working on several projects. PV projects amounting to 280 megawatts, access to the grid and location has been secured, and environmental authorizations are in progress. Biomass projects amounting to 81 megawatts and biomass solar thermal projects amounting to 25 megawatts. They have access to the grid, locations have been secured, and environmental authorizations are in progress. These projects await the implementation of the European and Spanish Renewable Energy Plan. And finally, we have 1.6 gigawatts in PV energy and 75 megawatts solar thermal hybridization under development still at an early stage with guarantees already in place for access to the grid. Finally, in slide 14, we summarize the legal situation of the Pontevedra biomill. We expect a first ruling by the National Court in the next few months. The evidence phase concluded in June. ENCE asked for the ruling of three court cases to be unified into one single case. We expect these to be approved in the coming weeks. We still believe the legal proceedings could take as long as 4 years, including any appeal before higher courts. I will now invite Alfredo to review the figures in more detail.
Thank you, Ignacio. Let me please start with our pulp business results, which you will find in slide 16. Although sales were slightly higher than those in 2018, a net pulp price decrease of 83 euros per ton combined with higher cash cost levels and negative FX settlements in the period for 23 million euros drove our EBITDA down to 85. Increasing focus in our cost reduction program is starting to be seen. Conversion costs in the third quarter were cut by 20% and our overheads by 11%, resulting in a 22 euros per ton cash cost reduction compared with the previous quarter. Also, Pontevedra's biomill production increased by 8%. We expect this cost-cutting trend to continue showing positive results, although some lower in the fourth quarter, impacted with current Navia shutdown period in October, but speeding up after it, linked to its ramp-up process. Going forward to the pulp business P&L in the next slide, after EBITDA, depreciation amounted to 46 million euros, in line with our growth CapEx program, followed by 3.2 million related to ENCE's environmental pact in Pontevedra, with no cash outflow effect, finally achieving an EBIT of 35 million euros for the period. Financial expenses of 6 million keep showing the 75% reduction coming from last year's refinancing process. Other financial results amount to 2 million euros, mainly including the positive FX effect on receivables. Finally, after taxes, the pulp business ended with a net profit of 24 million euros in the period. Continuing with slide 18, we can analyze the pulp business cash flow generation. Normalized free cash flow after changes in working capital, maintenance capex, financial payments, and taxes attained 65 million euros, with lower EBITDA being partially offset by lower financial payments, and increased thereafter by 8 million euros, mainly related to non-paid commercial rivals. All this cash, plus the 5 million euros coming from the sale of the Portuguese plantations, has been used to partially finance the growth and sustainability capex of 112 million euros related to the Pontevedra and Navia capacity expansions. Moving on to slide 19, let me update you on our ongoing hedging program. Again, the only aim of our hedging program is to mitigate currency volatility in the pulp business. For this reason, we hedge at least 50% of our expected revenues in dollars for a period that encompasses the next 12 to 18 months on a rolling on basis. These hedging structures are reviewed, monitored, and tightly adjusted on a weekly basis. This program has had a negative impact of 23 million euros in our P&L for the first 9 months of the year, versus a positive effect of 5 during the same period last year. If the US dollar-euro exchange rate stays at an average of 1.12 for the rest of 2019, the full year impact should be of approximately 28 million euros. If we now move to slide 20, you will find our pulp business balance sheet. Net debt amounts to 272 million euros. This figure represents a leverage ratio of 1.8 times LTM EBITDA. This ratio includes the capacity expansion investments linked to our strategic plan, almost completed at this time of the year, but not showing their pro forma LTM EBITDA. Applying it significantly reduces the ratio to below 1.6 times. Just remembering that the application of IFRS 16 on leases since January led to a recognition of a financial liability of 44 million euros in this business. Cash in balance at the end of the period amounts to 120 million euros, remaining additionally fully available, the revolving credit facility of 70 million euros. Let's now focus on the energy business in slide 21. Energy volume sold was almost 10% higher than in the same period of 2018 due to the contribution of our new solar thermal plant in Puerto Llano, acquired in December last year. As a result, total revenues grew by 19% and our EBITDA increased by 28% up to 42 million euros in the period. Following with our renewable energy business, P&L in slide 22, depreciation was 60% higher, attaining 21 million euros, mainly due to our new Puerto Llano CSP plant. Financial expenses increased up to 12 as a result of a higher debt balance related to the construction of our two new biomass plants in Huelva and Puerto Llano, as well as the solar thermal plant acquisition. After minorities and taxes, our renewable energy business reported a net attributable profit of over 4 million euros in the first 9 months of the year. In the next slide, number 23, let's follow with the renewable energy business cash flow generation. After taking into consideration changes in working capital, maintenance capex, interest, and taxes, normalized free cash flow amounted to over 18 million euros. Also in this business, all this cash has been used to finance our expansion and sustainability investments, mainly linked to the construction of our two new plants, which will start their operations in January 2020, contributing to our EBITDA thereon. Let me conclude this review on slide 24 with our energy business debt situation. The net debt position for the energy business increased to 246 million euros at the end of September, driving our financial leverage to a multiple of 4.3 times EBITDA, including all the capex invested in our two new biomass power plants. Again, in this case, by including their pro forma LTM EBITDA, the ratio significantly reduces to below 3 times. Application of IFRS 16 in this business amounts to 9 million euros, all related to land leases. Cash balance ended at 87 million euros for the period. Let me please now return the lead of this presentation back to our chairman for the closing remarks.
Thanks, Alfredo. To conclude this presentation, I want to stress that our focus in the pulp business is now on cost reduction and, obviously, the startup of Navia. In the third quarter, we have already reduced our cash cost by 22 euro per ton compared to the previous quarter, and we continue to work to achieve the cost target set in our strategic plan. The board will consider our pulp strategic plan investments during the first quarter of 2020. A delay can be expected in order to keep a low net debt to EBITDA ratio and to allow us to concentrate all our efforts on cost reduction. Regarding the renewable energy business, we will start the two new biomass power plants shortly, which will increase EBITDA by nearly 30 million in 2020. The other priority in this business is to develop our 2.1 gigawatts pipeline and to continue this development further. After 2 years of intensive CapEx, we are now fully focused on cost cutting and pipeline development. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Enrique Zamacola from Link Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. I would like to know, with a pipeline of more than 2 gigawatts, would you consider incorporating a partner to develop it? And if so, would you only do it to develop the renewables pipeline, or would you use part of the proceeds for the pulp business? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Enrique. Incorporating a minority partner in our energy business is an option that we are considering. We have not yet made a firm decision, but it is perfectly possible. Under current market conditions, this may well be an opportunity to crystallize the value of this business. This option would allow us not only to finance the renewable pipeline growth, but also to strengthen the pulp business. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Álvaro Lence from Alantra Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have three questions, if I may. First, on cash costs, specifically on wood costs, they are still quite high at 208 euros per ton when you compare the current pulp price in euros in euro terms with the euro price in during 2018, because during 2018 your average wood cost was of 201 and it's still at 208. Even though the price of pulp is much lower now. And second question regarding CapEx, first of all, on the pulp business, I was wondering whether you would engage in the expansion project that the board is expected to approve in Q1 next year, because in the slide you say that it would depend on not exceeding the leverage ceiling at average pulp prices, but I understand that the ceiling would not be reached at average pulp prices, but the leverage will be higher if we take into account the spot prices of the pulp. And lastly, regarding the CapEx for the energy business, if I recall correctly, you had 100 million of budget for expansion CapEx for 2020. I was wondering if this was enough to develop the project pipeline that you have announced today, at least the part that is related to the projects that already have network access. Thanks.
Álvaro, could you repeat the third question, please?
Yes. Regarding the CapEx plan for the energy business, the 100 million budget you have for expansion CapEx, is this enough to fund the necessary investments for the pipeline of projects that you announced today that already have access to the network, the 386 megawatts?
Yeah, Alvaro, thank you very much for your three questions. Yeah, regarding cash cost and wood cost. Well, cash cost in the fourth quarter, you will see wood costs 6 euros per ton lower as fixed price reductions during the last 3 months are not yet reflected in the cash cost because of the stocks and because the prices have been going down, down, and down, and it takes at least 1 month to reflect that on the price of the wood. And you have time in order to implement this fixed reduction on the wood, and you have to rotate your stocks. But we have already implemented on the market 3 reductions of 1 euros each one, which means 9 euros per ton on the wood, and we will see that on our figures on the fourth quarter. Regarding your second question, I am not pretty sure I catch it well, but 90% of with 90% of probability, the board will decide in the first quarter to delay at least by 1 year this big project in Navia. The capex for this project is around 400 million euros, and due to the market conditions in the pulp business, if we start this project, our net debt EBITDA ratio will rocket up, and we don't want that. Regarding your, and we want to concentrate on cost cutting. I think that after huge investments on the last 2 years in pulp, in Pontevedra and Navia, well, now we have to start up Navia, and we are starting up Navia in next week, and then we have to concentrate, fully concentrate in cost reduction and in cash saving. And going to your question in energy, well, the project we have now with grid connection require around 300 million euros of equity if we take both PV and biomass. And that's one of the main reasons we are deciding to sell a minority stake on the energy division in order to accelerate this growth. I hope I have answered your questions.
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jaime Escribano from Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So following your answer, when you mean selling a minority stake, could this be an IPO of the division or more a private investor? This would be one question. The second question would be regarding the CAPEX 2020, you said probably it will be delayed, but regarding to the fluff investment, which if I'm not wrong was 30 million, is this already approved or would that be already also delayed, just to make it clear? Then regarding cash cost, Q4, you are doing the ramp-up of Navia. How should we think about the cash cost in Q4 compared to Q3? Sorry, because there are many small questions. Then I would like to know about your outlook on the pulp prices in Europe. Do you think $700 is already a floor, or do you still see further declines in Q4? Finally, regarding guidance 2019, I don't know if you can give us, if not a guidance in EBITDA, but maybe what could be the volume sales that you expect in pulp for the whole year to have some idea. Thank you very much.
You asked the guidance in volume in pulp for 2020 or 2019?
2019. Yeah, I mean, guidance in EBITDA if you want, but if you don't provide that, maybe at least some color on some of your KPIs so that we can do some numbers.
Thank well, you. I will try to answer your questions by order and not to forget anyone. Regarding the possible sale of a minority stake of our energy division, we are thinking on a private investor, not on an IPO. We think the company is still too small to do an IPO. Regarding fluff, the most probably it will be also delayed. In this business, I think that we have to be very flexible. And sometimes the market doesn't understand that, but we have to be very flexible. When you have money and the market is good, you have to take profit of that and you have to invest and to grow. And when the market is tough, well, you have to concentrate on cost and cash saving. Then the most probably we will delay both projects. Fluff.
Okay.
It's only 30 to 40 million euros, but 30 to 40 million euros may be a lot of money. And today, well, I think that stocks are going down. I think that the overstock is not 2 million tons, it's 1 million tons, because I think that, as I mentioned before, 1 million tons, who used to be before on the hands of the paper producers, today they are on the hands of the pulp producers. Stocks are going down. Almost 50% of the 60 million tons of market pulp have cash cost higher than the actual price of today. But nevertheless, I don't have visibility at when prices are going to go up. Then we have to be extremely prudent. Regarding cash cost on the fourth quarter is going to be a bit higher than the third quarter due to the fact that Navia has been stopped for 1 month. And on the ramp-up of Navia, we expect a low month of production in November. And that's why we think that the cash cost on the fourth quarter, due to this non-recurrent effect, is going to be a bit higher than on the third quarter. Well, prices in Europe are today at 700, and we will do our best efforts to stay there. And regarding the volume guidance for this year, we think that pulp sales should be close to 970,000 tons, and our full-year average cash cost should be around 388, assuming 385 euros per ton on the fourth quarter due to this fact that Navia has been stopped during 30 days in October, and we guess we are only going to produce 40,000 tons in November in Navia. Thank you, Jaime.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Pedro Echeguren from Bank Inter. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I would like to focus on your biomass business. And I was wondering if you could give us some color on what you are considering in the current pipeline, you know, in terms of technology mix, locations, and returns expected. That would be my first question. And the second is whether you are still expecting an EBITDA in the biomass activity of 65 to 70 million euros for 2019. Thank you very much.
Could you repeat the third question, please?
The second question is whether you are still expecting an EBITDA of 65 to 70 million euros in the biomass business in 2019. Thank you.
Yeah, regarding this last question, we expect an EBITDA on the range of 57 million. As you know, we have it took us longer in spring to revamp Huelva 41 megawatt biomass power plant in Huelva, and that had this year a non-recurrent effect of 3 million euros, and we still have extra costs on the biomass processing in the south of Spain this year of 5 million euros. We think that will be sooner or later solved, but this year it has been 5. And something will be less next year, but it is taking us more time than what we thought. That's why we see more 57 than what you mentioned before. If I understood well, you are asking about our pipeline in biomass, locations, megawatts, is that right?
Well, locations, megawatts, if you're thinking about other technologies, I mean, on the presentation pack, you do mention for PV, And also, what types of expected returns are you looking at? I mean, what would be your hurdle rate?
Yeah, well, in order to keep growing in the renewable energy business platform, we have currently, as I mentioned before, a pipeline of over 2,100 megawatts, of which 386 megawatts already have access to the grid. 386. Firstly, 200 megawatts of PV projects have already access to the grid and with high irradiation locations secured. They are almost ready to build. The environmental authorizations are advancing and they will be completed on the coming quarters. The estimated CAPEX for this technology for PV is around €500,000 per megawatt. And if you remember, the required equity return for this technology set out in our strategic plan is 7.9%, which could be more than achievable even with our conservative price scenarios of €43 per megawatt on the long term plus flat. And that's the main difference with other competitors. You have Poiré curves, Banks curves, thinking on prices of 50, 55, and 60. We don't see that. We see low prices on the energy on the future. And even with this price of €43 megawatt hour flat, we see 7.9% return on equity. We will continue to develop these projects into the second half of 2020 or the first half of 2021. By then, there could be more visibility about possible pay-as-bid auctions or a more developed PPAs market with solid counterparties that could allow us to mitigate market risk and to ensure an attractive equity return. Secondly, regarding the 81 megawatt of new biomass projects, the Spanish government, in order to comply with the European Union renewable targets for 2030, as you know, has already published the PENIEC, the goals of 200 megawatt on new biomass capacity by 2025 and another 600 megawatt by 2030. We are the leaders in this technology in Spain, and given our wide experience and our technical and logistics advantages, we are the best positions to lead these investments. We already have two projects with access to the grid and locations secured, and we are advancing within the environmental authorization. Both are in Andalusia, one in Almería and the other one in Córdoba. And the one in Córdoba, we have two possibilities with all the permits, one near the Guadalquivir River and the other one doing what we have done in Puerto Llano, substituting a thermal power plant with coal by biomass. The estimated CAPEX for biomass would be around €2 million per megawatt. As you know, the government has announced specific auctions for this technology that should allow these projects to cover their operating costs, ensuring the return set out in our strategic plan is 9.4%. We believe these auctions will take place during the second half of 2020 or first half of 2021. Thirdly, the 25 megawatt of solar thermal hybridization depends of the 2030 Spanish Renewable Plan, which includes 2.5 gigawatts of new solar thermal capacity by 2025 and another 2.5 gigawatts by 2030. This is on top of the 800 megawatts of new biomass capacity in the same period. We see an enormous potential in hybridizing existing solar thermal plants with biomass boilers to increase their utilization rate. This would turn them into a fully manageable renewable technology with a low investment. We are developing one project to hybridize our Puerto Llano solar thermal plant. The estimated CAPEX for this technology would be around 1.6 million per megawatt. The required equity return for this technology set out in our strategic plan is 8.4%. On top of this, we have an MOU with the owner of three existing solar thermal plants in Spain to develop another 75 MW of hybridization with biomass. And there are other owners of solar thermal plants interested in our hybridization proposal. Finally, as I said during the conference call at the beginning, we are also developing another 1.6 GW in PV projects. We have already requested their access to the grid with all the necessary guarantees in place, and we are now working on securing locations in high irradiation areas for at least 600 MW. The average size of these plants would be around 100 MW. Thank you, Pedro.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Bruno Bessa from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. So some questions from my side. The first one regarding volumes. According to my estimates, your guidance in terms of volumes for 2019 implies broadly the same level of volume sold in Q4 when compared to Q3. My question is if you could provide more visibility on this, considering that you have the shutdown of Navia during October for the expansion of capacity in the mill. This will be my first question. My second question regarding cash costs for 2019, sorry, for 2020. You have been gradually increasing the guidance of cash costs for this year, started in 380, then 385, now 388. But you have been consecutively maintaining your guidance of 372. If I'm not mistaken, for the next year. This is a relevant decline in terms of cash costs. If you could provide more visibility on the drivers for this decline, I think it will be good. Also, regarding the pulp demand, there have been some players referring that demand, particularly in China, has been increasing in June, July, and August. I would like to have your view regarding the evolution of underlying demand in the industry going forward, and if we could see this recovery in demand as a real underlying recovery in the demand, or if this might be seen as a response of Chinese distributors opportunistically to Suzano's strategy of reducing significantly the price of pulp sold during the second half of the year. Last question, if I may, if you could give us an update on your CapEx expectations for 2020, it would also be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Bruno. Well, regarding our sales volume for fourth quarter, if we don't have anything we don't forecast in Navia, then with October fully stopped Navia and only 40,000 tons of production in Navia in November, well, we are going to be very close in terms of sales volume to the third quarter. We expect instead of 266,000, 262,000. Regarding cash cost for 2020, well, we stay on our strategic plan and we think today we have some visibility. And after this 22 euros per ton reduction in the third quarter, where we are reducing now in the fourth quarter, you have to understand that what we have done on the third quarter, we did that alone. We contracted Boston Consulting Group in July. Then we've been working with them in August and September. And then, well, with their support and what we are doing, today we are fully sure that we will be in 372 in next year. Regarding pulp demand and China, well, my vision is that, as I said on the conference call, today 50% of production have higher cost than the price. then it means that it cannot continue many months like that. Demand, real demand in China is increasing. Paper, yeah. I think that yesterday Nine Dragons had a conference call with investors, and, well, they are a bit optimistic about demand, real demand. Then I think that sooner or later prices will stop going down and will go up again. And regarding CapEx for 2020, well, we are trying to close any CapEx. We are trying to reduce any figure. We have today a carryover of in pulp of 140 million. We are trying to delay some things and to postpone some things. We are working hard with the teams now to try to reduce this figure, but the fact is today we have a carryover 140. And on top of that, you have the normal recurrent CapEx in the pulp mills.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Luis de Toledo from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, most of my questions have been already asked. Maybe an update on Pontevedra and why, if you could explain us the rationale behind your the unification of the three claims, if you think that will make your case stronger or just for simplification issues. And when, I mean, you're expecting the first resolution over the next months. I don't know if you expect the resolution before the end of the first quarter next year, if you could provide some update on deadlines. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Luis. Well, you know that in 2016, where we get the new concession for 60 years, the city of Pontevedra and two NGOs went to the court. Then on the first two cases, who are already ready to sentencia, how do you say that in English?
Ruling.
Yeah, ready to ruling. The state has been supporting the 60 years. It's only on the third one when the state changed his mind, and then as the three court cases are the same, the strategy to unify them, because they are asking the same, is to make more strength in our position. Well, the evidence phase finished in June. Normally, we should have received a notification from the court for the conclusions by July, August, and we are almost in November and we haven't yet received anything, then we think it's going to take a bit longer than what we expected. Today, we are forecasting something on the first quarter of 2020. Thank you very much, Luis.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
Hello? Well,
we have a question from Joao Pinto from JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick question from my side. Given the recent correction of pulp prices in Europe versus China, can we expect the average selling discount to narrow in the Q4, or they should keep stable at 34%? Thank you.
No, I think they are going to be quite stable. We have to export overseas because the European market with such huge stocks, customers are asking low volumes, and we believe for this quarter, for fourth quarter, the discounts are going to remain 32%, unfortunately.
32% or 34%,
sorry? 32%,
3-2. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. If there are no more questions, to conclude this conference call, let me remind you our priorities after 2 years of intensive CapEx, and Navia, Huelva, and Puerto Llano startups imminently. Cost-cutting and developing our pipeline to grow our renewable energy business platform. Thank you very much.
Thank you.